this morning. This morning, at this season of Epiphany. And just so we kind of understand, it's really a revelation of Jesus Christ to the... This is really a celebration for us. For most of us, as far as I know, aren't Jewish. And so when you talk about this, it was an interesting thing, and I started looking some of this stuff up this week as I was looking at it. But the word itself means the manifestation. And that's really what happened that first Christmas morning. We went through that a divine being came to us. God's only Son. And the other one, meaning that we often hear, is I had an epiphany, which would mean an intuitive leap of understanding, especially through ordinary but striking occurrences. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ would seem quite ordinary, that a young lady would have a child. It comes about in a very simple thing. And yet, it is a very striking thing of who it's for, as the angels announce that this will be a birth that will be celebrated by all mankind, and that God is indeed pleased with you. And because of this pleasure, and because what the ministry of Jesus Christ would be to bring us forgiveness of sins in the end, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1. As you are able to, please stand for the reading or hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. Now, when Jesus was born and buried the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? From the east and are come to worship him." Then Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the people together, he demanded of them, "For it is thus it is written by the prophet in the land of Judah, among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." When Herod privily called diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search diligently for the young child, and when you have found the word again, departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood. And when they saw the boy, and when they were come into the house, and they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed another way." Amen. Please be seated. So we start out, this is probably not the night of Jesus' birth like a Christmas story. Look, this is probably a year, maybe a little longer than that, afterwards, that Jesus is still in Bethlehem. And we see Herod is there. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold. Now Herod was installed as governor or king of Israel, not by his birth or by it. In 40 BC, put Herod upon the throne. And Herod was known for his great fits of rage, man. We start to think that, you know, it's only in these days that rulers and people are doing bad things. Herod, ruler who was terrible to behold. And so, we have some men who come from the east. A lot of people figure Arabia, there's all kinds of different men, no one really knows. It just is known that they come and they are looking for him who was the king of the Jews. And the wise men came from the east to Jerusalem saying, "Where are the Jews? For we saw his star, his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Now the interesting part about this knowledge of the Christ coming in the strictly Jewish sense, but somehow, some other way, God impressed it upon these men that the King of Israel had been born. To just give gifts. They come to worship. They come to serve him. And it's an interesting thing when you start, the choice of words here would be almost to the point where they understand that this child was for them also. We don't know what they were thinking. We know what the words were given here, but they have come to worship. And now we get Herod. Herod, of course, is installed and has all kinds of power. And when Herod heard, when Herod the king heard this, all Jerusalem with him, and assembled all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, and inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so now we have Herod, and he's troubled. But he's not troubled because, oh, this will be great. The king, our king has showed up. Going to go after his power. He's troubled simply in an earthly sense that all of a sudden his rule may be challenged. We see even from the point that Jesus is born, mankind is already trying to devise ways to kill him. And so he gathers all those who are smart. He gets all the chief priests and the scribes, and he wants to know, where is this Christ supposed to be? You'd think after this line of questioning that even the chief priests and the scribes, they would start looking, well, who is this child? Don't seem all that interested. It's really only these three wise men, these three Gentiles. People who shouldn't even be interesting in, they're the ones that are going to find out. But the chief priests and the scribes, they do know the scripture. So in verse 5, they tell Herod, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, who are no means the least of the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd. Now there is a very interesting statement on how that is worded. It's shepherd. Yes, he's a king. Shepherd is a whole different thing. And we've talked about this times when we've talked about sheep. But a shepherd does not drive sheep. He doesn't and yell at them and round them up. He leads them. And he brings them to places of safety. And so here, or the prophet is not talking about a ruler who will rule with an iron fist, who will come and destroy and set up kingdoms, and rather someone who will lead the nation of Israel. But not just Israel. And so, the answer of where the child is to be born in Bethlehem. And he gets the wise men, and he secretly ascertains from them what time the star has. Now Herod does this for one reason. He wants to know how old that child is. Because he's going to make sure that that child died. This is the world that our God sent his son into. A world where the ruler of the area that he came to would be heartless enough that he would kill an infant to make sure that he held his seat of power. And in all mankind. The corruption that's in each and every one of us. We don't have ultimate power, so we are unable to exercise it. It's down to that whole idea, would you like to, if you were ruler of the world, what would you do? And my boys during youth group, going, well, we'd make sure enough food, they'd be taken care of, they'd have medicine, everything would be wonderful. Well, how are you going to take care of that? Well, I get, you know, who's going to pay for it from other people? And we'd have to just take care of it. Well, what if they don't want to pay you? Well, then I guess we'd have to take it by force. What if they're willing to fight you for it? To the death. Well, then I guess we'd have to kill them. And they were all worked up. And that's the point. You see, within each and every one of us, even in the idea that we would do good, we are corrupted. And this is the reason. Because nothing that we can do can cleanse us. It is only what God. And that baby grew up. The one that the wise men thought of and worship. The one who didn't have the corruption within him. Who had all the power in the world to set up his own, to overthrow all mankind and to destroy them. Didn't. And lead him to a cross. And that punishment that we deserve was poured out upon him. That blood was shed that we could be forgiven. And what's called on us to do is to believe it. To change our ways, to change our mind, to change from who we are and who we thought God was. And to believe the gospel. And so, that corrupt man Herod looks like he's doing good. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship. Very duplicitous. He's not someone who wants to go worship. This is a man who killed his own children to the throne. It's certainly not going to bother him to go and kill somebody else's kid. I don't think most of the time we really understand who Herod was. He was a terrible, evil man. And so, the wise men head off. And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, when it rose, went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And so God continues to guide these men, these Gentiles, the ones whom we should not have any care for. And then we see something that happens in them. And when they saw, rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. It's interesting how Matthew words this whole thing, because he wants us all to understand the great joy. He uses rejoice, joy. He continues to bring that whole idea across within this verse, that these men were exceedingly joyful. And yet it was more than just happiness. It was something that was deep within them. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they felt. Now, as I said earlier, we really don't know if they worshipped him as a king, earthly king, or as something much greater as God. The point is, they showed him service. They showed him worth. That this child was worth something great. To the great journey. And this is not taking a journey like we think of it, where we hop in the car and we drive. We can get across country, you know. And this probably took them months of riding on beasts, setting up tents. This is not easy travel. Important enough to go and see this child. and to worship him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I can get into all kinds of different things about the meanings of the gifts, but the one thing is all of these are very valuable. They ascribe this much value to that child. Now, how much value do we place upon this person, Jesus Christ? And that really becomes the question, because we too are now the Gentiles. Do we ascribe great value to what he has done? He has done everything that we with him, that we would now enter into him, that we would now be part with him. Do we have? Do we have it in our heads and our hearts? This is the one whom we are to worship. That this is the child of God, the one who became sin for us, received our punishment, died, and was raised by God to bring us new life. Of God, we now have become him. We now see God's grace. Child, according to the Jews, was only meant for them. And so certainly, he couldn't be king. That was with Jesus. He talked to a Samaritan. He talked to sinners. He hung out with tax collectors and murderers. You see, Jesus has no problem with sinners. As much as we like to think that he's mad at them all the time, he's not. For Jesus Christ knew exactly why he came to this earth. It was the holy ones. They were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the ruling council. They were the ones that would reject him. Of this earth. No matter what your state, no matter what your station, no matter what you've sins you've committed in the past, the ones you may even commit in the future, he came that you would be forgiven in his name and his shed blood. That he would call new life. That he would raise you to that new life. And that he would lead and guide you. Even more so than he led the three wise men led by a star. And they asked questions. He has now taken up residency within us. By the power of his Holy Spirit. You now are holy. We sang today, Sanctuary. A very apropos song in that God is sanctuary for him. And so, being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country. The wise men themselves are smart enough to believe what God has told them. Be wise like them and worship our true King, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you. We thank you that you have indeed revealed yourself to us, Gentiles and sinners. And that, Father, preserve Jesus' life long enough indeed, Father, to complete the work that he needed to complete. And that was taken, that it was a sacrifice for us. That our shepherd went to death for us as sheep. And that we come before you knowing that you love us and hear our prayers. We ask that you would help us to bring this message to each person, that we would bring the message of the gospel and people would come to know of your love for them. for Jesus.